Lessons from the Lev, Parsha Shoftim, Elul Haba Aleinu Latova, this week as we usher in the month of Elul, for some the middle of their summer, certainly the middle of August, and we have to have a lesson that will help us in our Chodesh Elul preparation for Yomim HaNoraim, and also of course for Parsha Shoftim. The Rambam says, of course, Achenu b'nei Sfard will be starting to say Slichos this week. And the Rambam talks about getting up Bashmaris HaBoker to say Slichos. So my Chassidish Mashgiach, Satmar, Mashgiach said to me, you know, the Rebbe Gezakt, I assume he's talking about his Rebbe. And honestly, I don't know which of them I are. He lives in Monroe, so I guess it's the Monroe one. And he says that we agree with the Rambam, essentially, we just don't say Slichos, but Shmoris HaBoker, a person should get up, a person should wake up early, which is interesting coming from a Hasidim, but we know that there is a preparational time now, and this is it, this is the real time that we have to prepare ourselves. So what lesson can we glean from our parsha to help us for this very important and auspicious Chodesh Elul? So let's focus, Mamish, right at the beginning. Moshe Rabbeinu, and this Sefer Devarim, at the end of his life, is putting into place everything that will be happening in Eretz Yisrael. And when it comes time, and we come to Eretz Yisrael, you should appoint Shoftim, Shotrim, judges and officials and guards for Titan Lecha B'chol Sha'arecha, for all your tribes, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha Lifshivtecha, in the settlements that you, Hashem, have given you, they govern the people due to justice. Mishavtu mishpat tzedek. So the question is, if I already establishing my shoftim b'shotrim in my sha'arecha, what does it mean that there has to be b'shiftecha? What's going on over here? So we'll focus on Rashi. Rashi's first perish explains, l'shiftecha, musav al titein l'cha. Hashem gives you shoftim b'shotrim. Titein l'cha, l'shiftecha, b'chol sha'arecha, asher Hashem elokecha. But then he says, melamein, shemoshevim dinam, from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf tesayin, and the Sifri, that says, shemoshev dinam l'chol shevet v'shevet v'chol year v'year. It teaches us that it's not an extra word of year, to teach us that every single shevet in every town had to have a beis din in there. Certainly part of it is the level of diligence when a person knows that there's a beis din mamish in the same town that he's in, to always follow the right path, but also to know, to be able to turn around and to be able to follow the ways of Hashem. And should there be an argument, which is okay to have an argument with a fellow Jew, say, let's walk down the block, go into beis din, and figure out what the halacha might be. That's one idea. In fact, the Ramban, very interestingly, speaks about how this is unique to Eretz Yisrael, because obviously Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about in the future times when we come to Eretz Yisrael. And it would seem to be, as the Ramban says, based on the Gemara, he says, Kosov Rav Moshe Hilcha Sanhedrin Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, the Rambam says this. Avol b'maseches Makos it says Shanu v'hayu elul lachem l'chukos mishpat l'dorasechem b'chol moshrechem elamet. Shnei noges ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. The Rambam holds this was a special din for Eretz Yisrael because the kedusha, because of the different levels of Eretz Yisrael, we always had to be aware. And therefore, if a person turned around and they saw the shoftim b'shotrim, they're not going to do anything wrong because they know mamash a few blocks away is the beis din. Question whether or not it includes or does not include Eretz outside of Eretz Yisrael. But then there's a beautiful idea of the Katav v'Kabbalah. HaKatav v'Kabbalah, for those that don't know, is just a wonderful, beautiful sefer that brings really such beautiful ideas in different parshas of the Torah. Rav Yaakov Svi Mecklenburg was a Rav in the 19th century where he wrote the beautiful sefer on the parshas Katav v'Kabbalah. Lived in 1787 is when he was born, near Posen, Germany. And he says as follows, this beautiful idea. Musaf titein lecha. Shoftim b'shotrim titein lecha. Rashi already explains to us that they had to be in each of the shvatim. What's the reason, though? Shoftim b'sholim t'yem l'cha l'shvatecha b'chol sha'arecha yomar sheshoftim shvateihem v'hem yishvatu b'chol sha'areihem. That their dafka has to be shvatim in their sha'arim, in their shvatim. There seems to be something unique that they have to be part of their own shevet. That the shoftim actually have to be from the shevet. Your shevet Yehuda, your shevet Dan, your shevet Asher. They have to be your shoftim, if you will. Why? There has to be a reason. Laharos says the Hakatava HaKabbalah to show al ichut hatmunotam. Ki b'shem shofet ein lahavin bo rak isha miyuchad laharos bo uladon al dvarim. It's not just he looks at the papers and say, okay, this is the din, tell me what it is. No, he has to know the person. He has to know the shev that it comes from. Im b'yonei ha'asum shebein adam lamakam o b'yonei mamon shebein ish l'chaveiro kol sheyesh lo lishol be'echad min ha'dvarim ha'elo yalavo lefanov. It has to be someone who understands the needs of their own shevet, because everyone's different. And we know very, very well this idea that everybody comes from different communities. They're different menhagim. So we'll see a beautiful idea for Moreno Harav Nevin Sal Shlita. This concept is a very, very important concept. And that is that they need to know. This is something that we certainly realize and certainly is a very important Musar Haskel as we start Chodesh Elul. A person has to have in his back pocket a Rav. This generation, unfortunately, has become very used to the SMS Rebbe and the Vebbe Rebbe and the WhatsApp Rebbe, where we just WhatsApp and that's it. And oftentimes people don't even know who the Rav is. They don't know you. This is not an appropriate thing. ChatGPT, you're going to put in the Shaila and get it. He has to know who it is. Famously, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, in his hesped for Rav Chaim Oizer Gudzinski, spoke about the concept of the Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, speaks about as well, Rabbi Moiri, about logic of the mind and logic of the heart, how the Kohen Gadol would have the tzitz and have the ksos l'chosh. You have to have both. You have to be able to understand the situation, the kshailas. I remember when I would ask Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, oftentimes the shaila, he would remind me and say, this is just for you. Don't tell anybody the pesach. This pesach is for you for the specific moment that you're in now. That's a very important thing. And maybe that's the idea of having shoftim that know you, that know the community, that know where they should be. Of course, something that is integral and very important. But now the idea of Rav Nevenzel. Rav Nevenzel says so beautifully, of course, our chief rabbi of the Old City, also teaches in so many of the different yeshivas and HaKotel and the Tivarie. So he says as follows, and I think a very, very integral idea. So again, we look at this pasuk and we wonder, is there something going on here, b'sha'arecha? Why is b'sha'arecha mentioned? What is the addition here of b'sha'arecha? So Rav Nevenzel, as we learned, explains that there is something that is very unique, that it has to be b'chol sha'arecha, that it has to be dafka in for each shevet, because each shevet is different. And therefore, the Torah emphasizes the word l'shivtecha for your tribes, because Chazal understand that there is a mitzvah that each shevet has judges that are their own members. The Torah is mitzave osanu. It's commanding us to do so, even though the judges of another shevet may even be more qualified. And if there's a dispute between tif and shvatim, so what is going to happen is that it depends where the case is going to be. This is interesting, of course, right? Because we were never assumed for a moment that even though the shvatim had in it, we celebrated two ba'av, that the shvatim were able to marry each other specific to Od Yishama Be'ari Yehuda, that shevet Yehuda. But you would never say that, oh man, I just missed Megillah reading. Everybody in my shevet heard it. I wish somebody from shevet Reuven. No, I'm shevet Shimon, so shevet Reuven. We don't believe that. So what's unique over here? What's unique that when it comes to Shvatim, it can't be somebody from another shevet? So we know that there are many different gemaras that speak about the many halachas that revolve around minhag hamakom. Right, this is the famous thing of Minhag HaMakom when it comes to celebrating one or two days, the Minhag HaMakom of working on Erev Pesach, all these different things. For example, the Gemara in Kedushin, as the Daf Yomi will be starting this wonderful Masechta very shortly, talks about a resident of Yehuda. And he marries somebody, and instead of saying, Harei At Mekudeshetli, he says, Harei At Charfutai. He says, it's a different Lashon. So what does that mean? So in Shevet Yehuda, apparently this word of charufa is a synonym for marriage. Mikudeshet, it's the same thing. And therefore, the Gemara says, she's Mikudeshet. What does it imply, the Gemara? That this was only for Shevet Yehuda. Nobody else had this. So we see that, listen to this, if you had a judge who didn't know the customs of Shevet Yehuda, but he was a saintly and amazing judge, and they paid him a lot of money to leave Shevet Shimon and to come to his, and he comes here, he's going to say they're not Mikudeshet. They're going to have major halachic problems over here, right? Because they're really Mikudeshet, because that's the lushan of the minog of the makom, that's what people call Mikudeshet. He didn't know. Now he's going to say, oh, they're not Mikudeshet, they don't need to get, you could have major problems. So this is something that's very, very important. And then he goes through different ideas of them himself of where the local custom is important. Nagumar that relates the idea of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman speaks about the custom where the husband came from when it comes to a case where the husband has passed away, how exactly to give out the Yerusha. So we see how important it is. And even today, local minhagim are the source of what we grab onto. Not only that, there are halachas that revolve around the minhag of the makom. For example, you could have not just in the same country, Rav Nevzal quotes this in Belgium, but I think this is all around, old diamond dealers, when they finish the deal, what do? They shake hands and they say, mazal, mazal, mazal. In fact, non-Jewish people say this as well. It's become so, so very popular. And it's binding, halachically binding. You know, when we sell the chametz, we have all these different simdukta and all these different kinyanim that a person does because we want to involve all of them. One is actually a handshake as well. But in that location, if you literally took them to court, and I think this is the law in the United States, and they say, yeah, we're in the diamond district. He says, there's no contract. I said, but wait, you shook hands and said mazal? That's the binding contract because that's what the local custom is. And therefore, it's important that the judge has the ability to understand the local customs of the place. He has to have the ability to render a more well-informed judgment when the familiar local customs are known. And therefore, it's very important, despite the fact that he may not be the greatest of all judges, but he's from that place, so he understands how to deal with that place. Rav Nevenzel says that he thinks that we could even add on to this. The Torah tells us in Sefer Bereishis that Hashem is called Shofet Kol Haaretz, the judge of all judges, of course. As we reach that time, and it's scary by this, Shofet Kol Haaretz, as my grandfather once told me in his town in Europe, when they were Mevarech the Chodesh, Aryeh Sha'ag, the people were crying. They were scared. Shofet Kol Haaretz, the judge of the world. But it requires us to also have human judges. Why, Esther Nevenzel? Why is it so important to have human judges? I could understand when it comes to monetary matters that we should have judges. Why? Because it's obvious. Because monetary matters, I need right now an answer. I don't know what to do with my money. Something as simple as I ordered, 10,000 fish. And the market price changed within 2 days to double. What's the halacha? Okay, so we understand why we need that. Chukim mishpat for Israel. But there's probably something even more important here. Explains Rav Nevenzel that the potential punishment for a transgression, if in fact it is brought out by Dinei Shamayim, by the heavenly court, can be more severe, in fact, far more severe, than if it's mediated in the human courts. There's a possibility of a person being chayav physical malchus in a human court, which is going to be so much better than what he could have gotten, which was 12 months in Gehenna. What do we learn? We learn how important it is to have these batei dinim, because to be able to get that punishment in a much more rachamim way is certainly something that is so important and more important. And that's the idea the Bali Musar tell us, Schar Mitzvah, Bahai Alma Leka. There's no reward for the performance of the mitzvahs, of course. The reward for mitzvahs are in the world to come. And we have no idea what the performance of a single mitzvah can do. But we are told, Pirkei Avos tells us, Yofa Shah Achas, Shal Koret Ruach Ba'olam Haba, Mi Kol Chaya Olam Hazeh. It's better 1 hour of bliss in the world to come than the entire world. So what's happening, right? It is referring to all the pleasures, all the honor, all the wealth, all the gashmias that we can have is nothing compared to what Olam Haba is. But if it's mitigated here on earth, that's why it is better to have Bate Dinim. That's the idea. That's the idea behind this very important pasuk. And as well, we know that the evil, those that are evil, so they get their reward in this world, but of course, get their true negative compensation in the world to come. Finally, Rav Nevenzel tells a story about a man who constantly gets drunk. He's desperate. He'll do anything to drink wine. His children realize how addicted he is, and they give him a very strong wine, which puts him to sleep. They then take him to the cemetery so that he could really feel Yom HaMavas. Seems also they didn't cover the bodies that much in those days in earth like we do today. So this is really going to scare him. The children hoped that he would awaken, be so frightened, and said, I'm done. This is where I ended up. I don't even know how I got here. Hashem, however, has other plans. And Hashem decides that a band of wine merchants who are passing the town, the merchants, upon hearing sounds of disturbances, felt nervous that maybe this is the wrong town to bring their wares to. So they said that they're going to hide it. Where better place to hide it? All of their wine in the cemetery, and then they'll figure out in the morning if this is a safe place. So the drunk guy man wakes up, and guess what happens, of course? He discovers the Rebbeinu Shalom has given him the greatest gift of all. There's wine literally right next to him. And when the children return to the cemetery, they see their father had awakened. They say, ah, he finally did tshuva. Much to their chagrin, their father was drunk as usual. When the children realize it, they recited the famous pasuk from Mishlei, Ein chachma, ein tvuna, ve'ein etza le'neged Hashem. Neither nor wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel, we can no longer attempt to understand the ways of Hashem. One who's determined to drink wine, to do aveiros, he's going to find a way to do that, one way or another. But one who desires the pleasures of this world will be rewarded, whereas one who's desiring internal life in this world will come and be rewarded in the appropriate way. The concept here, and the beautiful story that Rav Nevenzel ends with, is exactly what we should be focusing on. On one hand, we have this tremendous desire, Rachman al-Itzlan, to do what is wrong. And the Rebbeinu Shalom will find a way, really the Yetzirah will find a way, but it applies to the positive as well. We have to establish for ourselves shoftim v'shotrim, not just physical judges, physical rabbanim who to ask in each of our towns who speak to us, who know our language. I was talking to somebody just last night who is a very successful doctor, and he was saying how important he thinks it is, just like being a doctor, and he is a professor and teaches others. He says, I need to be worldly and understand everything that's going on. A rabb needs to understand. If you say the word TikTok to him and he doesn't know what's going on, it can't go. And therefore, we have to have rabbanim who understand us, who understand our generation. But we also have to have shoytim b'shoytim b'sharecha, who also we have to understand what our yetzaharas are. Whether they come to the phones that we are on to have filters, whether they're coming to what our children are watching or looking at, or whatever it might be, and how we can get closer to Torah as we start a new chelik and dafiyomi, a new mesechta. We have to recognize and realize this is the chodesh to pick that up. B'chol sharecha. That I have to establish for myself these shoftim v'shotrim. And I have to recognize and realize, yes, there are things that I keep on and keep on. I turn around and think I'm in a good place, and guess what's there? The barrel of the wine. It's there when I thought it's always going to come up, but how do I protect myself? B'chol sharecha. I need to have good friends. I need to have good rabbanim. And I need to have good ways that I can control whatever those negative desires are. And of course, this applies to the positive as well. The positive wine that I could turn around wherever I might be, even in maybe a camp situation where things aren't perfect, and get together a group of teens and say, no, let's learn a little bit. And all of a sudden they say, sure, what do you want to learn? Can we learn together? We have to look at those positive situations. How can we bring that barrel of wine, the barrel of Torah, the barrel of sweetness, the devash of Torah of mitzvahs, and ma'isim tovim to others, despite the fact that we may not be in the most desirable situations. We don't all have the opportunity to stay in Israel our whole lives and learn Shana Aleph, Shana Bet. Not everybody gets to go back Shana Bet. Not everybody gets to go back Shana Gedet. Okay, so how do I make sure that barrel of wine is always next to me, of course, in the positive way? B'chol sha'arecha. So I have to, first of all, be in the appropriate shape. I have to be in the proper place that I'm able to do that. If I'm in secular college, so I have to be in the proper place and know who's my chavrusa. How am I going to set myself up for success? I think that's the idea. And certainly, Mirtz Hashem will take us to this important month where the Rebbeinu Shalom promises us, those that return to him, and he ledoydi v'doydi li, I am your beloved, I just want you to return. We should all have the schus of returning to the Rebbeinu Shalom with the tshuva shleima b'meheir v'yameinu, and see gubiyaz gol tzedek b'meheir v'yameinu. Amen v'yameinu.